Don't get in the judging and condemnation business. God's already settled that. Be very careful when you stand up and start pointing fingers at everybody else's shortcomings. Follow God's solutions. And God's solutions are unapologetic when it comes to sin. The Encouraging
Word. That unique voice is Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist. And his message, What Does God Say?, is coming up in just a few minutes as we put the pieces together, not only of understanding God, but understand how He is speaking to you. God has a word for you today. As we study the Word, know that we're available for you. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you. We're connecting at 866-899-WORD. I know I say that too fast, so take a minute, store it in your cell, jot it down, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with someone 24 hours a day to talk and listen and pray, and also connect you with great resources like the Daily Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. All the details online at theencouragingword.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number three, cultural heritage. We are one nation, there's no question about it. It's what I love about the United States, but we're a nation of many cultures. So why don't we lean on our culture? Well, this is the way we do things. Number four, social convenience. Big issue in terms of trying to determine what's right and wrong, what is sin, what is not sin. Is it socially convenient? Because social convenience leads to social acceptance. Nobody wants to be socially unacceptable. That is why sin usually gathers itself in certain areas. You can determine pockets of sin. There are some places in America where it's better to live if you have a propensity toward any particular sin. Move there. You'll be socially convenient. You'll be accepted. Here's a big one. Number five, human feelings. Human feelings are a very big issue, aren't they? All of us deal with human feelings. All of us. We're emotional people. We all love and hurt. And so it's very understandable that we will say, well, how can you question if someone loves someone? Surely if somebody loves someone, everybody's entitled to love. We use human feelings. We use human feelings cover the judicial system. Human feelings govern the way we respond to one another. Human feelings become the litmus test. And emotions, human emotion, is a very, very big issue. And last but not least, historical precedent. On both sides of the aisle of any issue, people can use historical precedent. Well, we've never done that before. We don't do things like that. Or we do things like that. It's always been that way. Look, it doesn't matter if you move to this country over here. Historically, that's the way they are. As a Christian, I choose God. I choose His Word. I stand upon His Word. This Bible, this book, is not an ordinary book. I'm not just reading some novel here. This is God's Word. I believe this Word from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's infallible, inerrant Word of God. These are the words of God, our Heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every word written and recorded for us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, without mixture of error, absolutely true. And if I want to know what God says, I have to go to His Word. I'm going to read to you three passages of Scripture, and I'm going to try and not stop at any great length at any point in time, because it's important for us to hear these words. First of all, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. We're asking the question, what does God say? I'm going to begin in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to ask God what he says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithful, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man. I want you to turn quickly to John chapter 8. We're going to be in the New Testament right there in John's Gospel chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. John's Gospel chapter 8. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. Adultery, by the way, according to God's word, is any form of sexual activity outside of your marriage. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placed her in the midst of them, and they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, the law commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. So Jesus bent down, wrote with his finger in the ground, and as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Just as a little aside, either Moses is going to run your life or Jesus. I choose Jesus. There were two groups of people in the New Testament that Jesus dealt with. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the legalists. Jesus called them snakes and vipers. And then there were the sinners. Jesus put his arm around them and he really loved them. Verse 8, "And once more he bent down, wrote in the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman caught in adultery standing before him. And Jesus stood up and said to a woman, 'Where are they? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on sin no more.'" Very quickly, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. This is a powerful verse. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm just going to read to you two verses, Matthew 12, verse 30 and verse 31. This puts it into context, because some are going to ask, is there any sin that God will not forgive? I just want to announce to you, there's not one, except one. Here it is. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people. But blasphemy against the Spirit will never be forgiven. Why? Because God is Spirit. All of us are born in sin. Every one of us. Not a single person born perfect because of the sin of Adam. And in the sin of Adam, all die. But in Christ, we're made alive. So when you give your heart to Jesus, the Spirit of God convicts you of that sin, comes into your heart and life, and indwells you. The Spirit of God convicts you concerning righteousness. The Spirit of God enables you to be an overcomer, even in the struggle of your sin. Paul admitted that. He said, the good that I would that I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Called himself a wretched man. 1 John 1:9 is not an evangelistic text. If we confess our sin, that's believers. When you give your life to Christ, you don't become exempt from sin. You don't become exempt from sin. You become sensitized to sin. The Spirit of God enables you to overcome. So if you've got a propensity to lie, and lying is one of the sins that you battle with most of all, you're going to lie yourself into jail unless the Spirit of God enables you to conquer that. God gives you the strength and the ability. God by His Spirit. That's why we need to be filled and indwelt by the Spirit of God. I choose God. I choose God, number one, because He created me. That's why I choose Him. I want to know what God says. Number two, because He loved me. I choose God because He forgave me. Without Him, through Jesus Christ, I would never be forgiven to begin with. My sinfulness would be on a rampage. I choose God because He completes me. The message of the cross is the message of hope. Christ comes into our life. He gives us hope. He does for us what we cannot do for Him for ourselves. So there are four things that God is abundantly clear about in His Word. Number one, that anything short of God's standard is sin. That's Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What God's Word is clear about when we ask God what God says is that all sin is punishable by death. That's Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. All sin is punishable by eternal death. All of it. Every one. There is none righteous, no, not one. The third thing God's Word is clear about is that Jesus Christ is God's gift of love for our forgiveness. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not die, but will have eternal life. Because God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might believe and might be saved. And number four, rejecting Christ. Saying no to the Spirit of God can never be forgiven. Because unless you accept God the Spirit, you can never be saved, which means you can never be forgiven of your sin. And all of us have sinned. So what does God say? If we ask God what God says, regardless of what sin it might be, anything short of God's standard is sin. All sin is punishable by death. Jesus Christ is God's gift of love for our forgiveness because He died on a cross, taking upon Himself the sin of the world. So that when we come to Him by repenting of our sin, by confessing that sin to him and trusting him by faith, he takes our sin and he casts it as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. And just because you have been forgiven unto salvation does not mean to say you're not necessarily going to spend the rest of your life struggling with your propensity to sin. So there really are three questions, aren't there? Number one, what does God say? Number two, what does God do? And number three, what does God expect? What God says is that all of us have sinned. What does God do? He demonstrates his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what does God expect? God expects us to come to him in an act of repentance, of recognizing that we are sinners before God. What we're dealing with in America today is sin. It's not a matter of popular opinion and political correctness and cultural heritage and social convenience and human feelings and historical precedent. God has spoken. Number two, what does God do? I present to you the Lord Jesus. And what does God expect? He expects us to accept him in his word. So here's what I want to say to you today. This is how we should respond. Now folks, this is very important. How should we respond to homosexuality? How should we respond to adultery? How should we respond to idolatry, to pornography, to lying, stealing? How should we respond to sin? How? Number one, accept God's word. I want to encourage you today, just accept God's word. Just take God at his word. Hard. It is so hard. Some of the most precious people I know are dealing with some of the deepest issues that we deal with in. Folks, to just say, I love you so much. Just accept God's word. Number two, follow his solutions. Just follow his solutions. Trust Jesus Christ by faith. Present the gospel. Stand on the hope which is in Christ. Don't get in the judging and condemnation business. God's already settled that. Be very careful when you stand up and start pointing fingers at everybody else's shortcomings. Follow God's solutions. And God's solutions are unapologetic when it comes to sin.
Forgive the interruption. There's so much more to come in Dr. Wilton's message called What Does God Say in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton insists I interrupt because he wants to remind you that this is not just a presentation of the truth and the message, but it's also a conversation. And we're just as interested in listening to you, praying for you with what God's got going on in your life as we are in sharing what God's doing in the scriptures that Dr. Wilton's teaching about. Just know we'd love to connect. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And I just want to say thank you to so many who have become encouragers, prayer supporters of the ministry, and financial supporters of the Encouraging Word. Every single day, someone gives their heart to Jesus for the very first time through the outreach of the Encouraging Word. If you'd like to be a part of that prayerfully and financially, you can go to our website, theencouragingword.org/encourager, and get more details. We have everything from a physical brochure, or brochure, as Dr. Don would say, that we can put in your hands, or you can discover all the information right there online at theencouragingword.org. Or if the Lord stirred you to give, call right now and make your gift. 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number three, act like Jesus. Love unconditionally. Parents, if you're dealing with issues with sons and daughters that you love so dearly, thank you for loving them unconditionally. What do you do when your daughter has a baby out of wedlock? What do you do when someone commits suicide? What do you do when your favorite uncle is convicted of armed robbery? What do you do when your mother goes to jail? What do you do when someone's found guilty of embezzlement? Just act like Jesus. Love unconditionally. Number two, love the sinner without accepting the sin. Goodness me, if I hadn't been loved despite my sin, I don't know where I'd be today. And you? Yes, that's what Jesus did. People can come to me, oh, that's just whitewashing the gospel. Excuse me, that's what Jesus did with the woman caught in adultery. He loved the sinner, but he condemned the sin. This is not a compromise. People who love unconditionally and who love the sinner, they're not becoming all, what are you wanting people to do? Get up and pitch a fit and kick people out and act all like some of these maniacs out there? Is that the way Christ would want us to respond to one another? How are people going to come to know Christ if that's the attitude that some adopt toward them? Moses not in control of our lives, Jesus is. And you'll find legalists in every corner of God's world. Love unconditionally, love the sinner while hating the sin. And number three, here's my counsel to you. Love those people that you love through their circumstance. Walk with them. Don't ever let them go. I'm telling you, folks, people who hurt need you and me more than anybody else. The most difficult thing people go through when it comes to sin is rejection. You don't even have to reject them. They will just feel rejected. And so it becomes an active ingredient. I really believe that Jesus walking through the streets of Jericho and he stops and looks up. He doesn't even look up. And there's this little man sitting up in a tree by the name of Zacchaeus. A sinner, tax collector, a thief, one of the scourges of society. And Jesus stops and he says, hey, buddy, why don't you come and have a cup of tea with me? How do we respond? Yes, we ask, what does God say? And God is so clear on these things. How do we respond to this? Just accept God's word. Accept it. Believe it. Don't whitewash it. Don't tiptoe. Don't try and find loopholes when it comes to God. God doesn't have loopholes. He calls a spade a spade. Number two, follow his solutions. Repentance and confession, change. Following him, taking up the cross. Number three, act like Jesus. And number four, pray for others. Let's pray for our country, folks. Let's pray for our people. Let's pray for our sons and daughters. And when you just happen to know about somebody that's being affected by these real issues, pray for them. Love them. Don't stand there and look at them. And the onus is on you, not on them. When people hurt, they're not going to just run up to you. And hurt makes people withdraw. I'm a pastor of a church, folks. I've been your pastor for a long time. I can't tell you the number of people I've seen in this one congregation. The minute some sin comes into their lives or to somebody's lives that they love, the first casualty is the church. They immediately start withdrawing. And it doesn't stop here, folks. People like that stop going out. They stop going to restaurants. They stop going to malls. They stop going where the crowds are. They become isolated, insular. They pull back. They withdraw. They get in a hole. It affects everything. Let's pray for others. Let's hold their hand. Let's be real. Let's be real with our Christian faith. Jesus repeatedly, he just went out there onto the sidewalks and the streets. Who's welcome in this place? Is a prostitute welcome here? Is a person guilty of embezzling the public welcome in this place? Is a person who's gay, homosexual, are they welcome here? Is a person who lies welcome here? Is someone who cheated on their test and got caught, are they welcome here? Is there someone who sinned against God and their family and committed adultery welcome here? Yes! This is God's house. It's not just about God's house. And what's happened in America today is there's been a polarization. What does God say? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yep, Jesus loves you too.
A powerful question from Dr. Wilton, but there's more to come. As a matter of fact, Dr. Wilton has perhaps the most important question of the entire day, maybe of your life, coming up next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If God stirred your heart, I pray you'd let us speak with you, pray with you, put resources in your hands. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. Those numbers are 866-899-9673. And not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day, anytime. We'd love to be your 3 a.m. friend if need be. Just know that we're here for you. 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. There's a lot of buzz online about the Standing in the Cross Currents message. Here's more details on how you can get your copy.
Hello, my dear friends. I want to speak to you personally today, from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. We're living today in a day and age in the crossfire of multiple cross currents that you and I know full well are challenging the very fabric of our faith. We must stand strong in our convictions. The Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry is doing just that, and we are supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in our world for Christ. So please call the number on your screen and request my life-changing message, Standing Strong in the Cross Currents. As a result, you will be empowered and blessed. Thank you for requesting my message. Your financial support enables us to continue to share God's truth with our searching world.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673 or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And tomorrow at this same time, Dr. Wilton's message, The Rich Mercy of God, it's going to be a blessing. I hope you'll join us.